The reading, it's Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 22. He, that's Jesus, went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the west, east and west, and from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last."
Lord, will those who are saved be few? That question from our reading has been asked at every stage of the history of the Christian message. Today, we might ask about church decline in secular Europe, or we might ask more painfully about my friend, my daughter, my dad. Will those who are saved be few? We might ask why so few in church across the country this morning, or why don't my colleagues turn to Christ? And when Luke carefully arranged the testimony about Jesus into his book, this question was pressing as well, though maybe in a different way. Perhaps more like, God, what are you playing at? See, Luke travelled with the Apostle Paul as they took the message from Jerusalem to Rome, and Luke knew that there were more than a few. Thousands had been believing. But everywhere they went, there was opposition from the people you might have expected to be delighted. And the believers, the thousands, well, you might say they were the wrong people. Greeks and Romans, laborers, soldiers, and a fortune-telling slave girl. So as Luke puts together his material in this book, he selects the time that Jesus was asked this question, this exact question: "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And if you look down at the verses before the question, you'll see the setting. Jesus, he is heading for Jerusalem, verse 22, and his kingdom is open for business and growing. We've just had two parables about the kingdom. It's growing like a mustard seed, and it is spreading like leaven in flour. So someone asks, big or small, open invitation or exclusive guest list? And Luke is marking this as a major break in his structure. On the page for us, it doesn't look like that. It looks like verse 22 in the middle of a chapter with just a little heading in bold. But in Luke's structure, everything is here. There is a journey marker, verse 22, something about the journey to Jerusalem, followed by a question, verse 23. Last year, here at St. Helens, we were a few pages further on. Just turn on and you'll see 17 verse 11, there is a journey marker. And verse 20, there is the question, when the kingdom of God would come. And so we're expecting a section here from 13 to 17 all about this question. Will those who are saved be few? Luke has marked a whole new block of material. And I want to give away the answer straight away this week. We're going to spend 14 weeks in this series. Will those who are saved be few? And the answer is no. Okay, that's the whole series. No. Many will be saved. But the answer is not just no. That's why it will take us a few weeks. Many will be saved, but not the ones that you were expecting. Not the VIPs, not the people who assume they would be on the list. And do you see then how these chapters would help serve the churches that Luke has founded with Paul? Paul has traveled the world and set up churches everywhere he went, but they are the wrong kind of churches from one perspective. People in Jerusalem worry that they are not Jewish enough. They've set up churches, but they are, in general, the wrong kind of churches. So there's a big movement in Jerusalem saying these churches are not Jewish enough in terms of their ethnic makeup and in terms of their behavior. Perhaps as well, Luke's patron, Theophilus, the book's dedicated to him, maybe he worries that these people are not impressive enough. There aren't many people like him in these congregations. And so Luke, he wants to show us that this is exactly what Jesus expected and wanted. He wants to say, you can have confidence in Jesus. This is certainly the right message. This is the right kind of church. It just isn't the guest list that we would have put together. And before we dive in, let me just issue a brief health warning. We are going to go through the answer that Jesus gives just in this section. For convenience, we're going to break that into three sections, three headings. And you need to know that the first two flatly contradict the popular folk view of Jesus. And I just say that in the hope that maybe you'll be willing to keep listening till the third. I hope the microphone lasts until the third point. See, Jesus, he could have said, will those who be saved be few? He could have said, no, not few, loads. Loads of people would get in. He could have jumped straight to verse 29 and been positive. But what he does say is more disturbing to our ideas of a nice Jesus who welcomes everyone. So please look down. Will those who are saved be few? First point, point one, narrow door, mass exclusion. That's verse 24. Narrow door, mass exclusion. Let me read verse 24. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Do you see how that contradicts the folk view of Jesus? Jesus with the wide open arms, begging everybody, please come in. Committed to come as you are, no need to change, which that picture, it's been taken by our culture, I think, as a general assumption that you're in without having to respond to Jesus at all. Real Jesus says the door is narrow, not wide. And Jesus recommends an application, recommends a response to that truth about his kingdom. The right response is strive to enter. And the word used there, it could hardly be stronger. It's the same word that we get the English word agonize from. Struggle, wrestle, strain yourself to get in. This is the space on the 8 a.m. Central Line from Bethnal Green is narrow, but you need to be on that train. So you wrestle and you strain until you fit. I once, largely truthfully, begged a full tube with the words, please let me on, I'm late to see the Queen. Worked very well, I recommend that to you. The door is narrow, so strive to enter, and many won't make it. And in fact, it's not just many in general. Many will seek to enter and will not be able. We're not here talking about people who don't want anything to do with Jesus at all. We're not talking about celebrity atheists with plans to video their own deathbeds to prove that they never asked to be let in. It's many who wanted to come in will not. Which, in a room containing, I think, hundreds of us who want to enter, could be disturbing, couldn't it? Please keep listening until point three. See, we as a church, we're praying that 2020 will be a year in which we hold out the message of Jesus to many people. We've just spent a month, haven't we, using every Christmas opportunity to show people that Jesus is far more wonderful than they ever imagined. Far beyond the two-day hit of Christmas schmaltz, here is the real and satisfying answer to guilt and to death and transformation and eternal life. The students here, they will have events weeks, the small groups here. We have a week of dialogue events in March. Christianity Explored begins next Sunday morning at this time. And we will, like Paul, like Jesus, we will hold out the offer to many people. Will those who respond be few? Well, it may be. The door is narrow. You don't fall through it by accident. And that has always been how it is with the Church of Jesus and the message of Jesus. Okay, that's the first answer, narrow door, mass exclusion. And then Jesus tells a story about the master of a house, verses 25 to 27, and that's our second point. Second point, shut door, big surprise. Shut door, big surprise. And we've moved on in time from verse 24. The narrow door is now the shut door. Verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, well, what happens if you try and get in then? You begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us. So this is clearly, it's the same group as verse 24. They thought they were coming in, but they were not able to. And now the door is shut, and they are on the outside. But not to worry, they think, because they are the blaggers and the talkers in the game of life. So they try twice to get that door open again. The first time, all they think they need to do is ask, Lord, open to us. And then the second time, they throw out some reasons. And both times, the answer is the same. Two attempts, zero impact. I do not know where you come from, verse 25. And verse 27, the same. I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Which is a total surprise to them. I think that this helps us a lot identify who it is that Jesus is talking about. If you look at their blagging in verse 26, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. So this is talking about people who met Jesus, who ate and drank with him, and who listened to his teaching. Will those who are saved be few? No. Many, but many will be shut out who thought that they were going to get in. They wanted to be in. They are surprised that the door is shut. And they thought that their connection to Jesus would open the door whenever they wanted. We ate with you. We listened to you. And again, this is disturbing to listen to, isn't it? Particularly the end of verse 27, when Jesus reaches for an Old Testament psalm, for Psalm 6, and he identifies these people as the enemies of the king. So Jesus is the new King David, and this is all about entry to his kingdom. And here is a group who assume they are in, and their credentials look very, very solid, but who Jesus sees as enemies of the king. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. And perhaps now we can see why this is going to take 13 more weeks to unwind. The message of Jesus, it was opposed by those who you would expect to be delighted. In fact, Jesus is going to Jerusalem to be killed by people who we'd have thought were in the kingdom already. Why is it like that? What is it that Jesus can see in their hearts that means he calls them workers of evil, long before anyone else has worked out what's wrong with them? And I hope over the next month, maybe, you would begin reading through chapters up to chapter 17. And you'll begin seeing how Luke is going to explain this. So look at 14 verse 1. There we have Jesus eating and drinking with a ruler of the Pharisees. We ate and drank in your presence. We're all friends here. But 14 verse 1 says they were watching him carefully. And verse 2 is a sick man there as a baited trap to catch Jesus. Jesus ate and drank with his enemies. So no surprise they don't get in the end. And he taught them. Chapter 14 is Jesus teaching them on this very issue. Or chapter 15, verse 1, loads of people are entering the kingdom, but the group that you would expect to be delighted are upset. Verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he teaches them, chapter 15 and into chapter 16. And being in the room to hear the sounds wash over your ears does not guarantee a place in Jesus' kingdom. These people, they could say, "Jesus, we heard you teach the prodigal son the very first time, the world premiere. We were there, we heard you live." But that is not the question. Did you recognize that your heart grumbled when sinners repented and entered through the narrow door? Did you recognize what I taught you about your heart? Did you do anything about that? Did you strive to enter through the narrow door? And the story of the master of the house is about those who ate and drank and heard, but did nothing, received nothing, understood nothing. Said, "We are owed a place in this kingdom. So whatever happens, we're just going to give our names at the door and he'll reopen it for us. Depart from me. I do not know where you come from." So what's going on? Well, we've called this entire series Narrow Door and Mass Entry. And it is mass entry. It's the many who get in that dominates the last few verses here. So third point, mass entry and mass reversal. Mass entry and mass reversal. And that's verses 28 to 30. And in these last three verses, we're looking through the eyes of the people who are shut outside. You need to imagine them maybe standing on each other's shoulders to see over the wall. And the emotion here is of terrible, terrible regret. People who assume that they have a place in Jesus' kingdom and do nothing about it and expect to blag their way in after death, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And over the wall, they see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourselves cast out. And those names that are mentioned there, this is not a dinner party for history nerds. This is not about which famous historical character would you like to have a meal with? Would it be Abraham, please, or Jacob? He sounds like more fun. No, this is the people of God, represented by their founding patriarchs, with the prophets who called the people back to God again and again over more than 1,000 years. They are inside. And those who met Jesus and ate with him and heard him and opposed him, they are outside. In chapter 16, Jesus tells a story about a man who dies and is carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham. And also about another man who dies and is in Hades in torment. And that man, he calls Abraham his father. And he starts the blagging and the begging. See, Jesus does not mess around with his own generation, and we may not sugarcoat this for our generation. These people, they wanted to enter God's kingdom. They're surprised to find out they haven't made it, and they weep when they realize that Jesus was the narrow door, and Jesus is the master of the house, and that by rejecting Jesus, they have rejected Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But look at verse 29. Who else do they see? And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And in terms of the story, you can imagine the outrage on their faces and the shock in their hearts. Because here in this verse, here are the fruits of Luke's journeys with Paul all over the Mediterranean. Here are the thousands who have put their trust in Jesus, even though you might say they were the wrong people. Greeks and Romans, laborers, soldiers, and a slave girl who earned her money by fortune telling. East, west, north and south. It means beyond Israel in the prophets. Luke's gospel, relentlessly, he argues that the church of his day is the church that Jesus intended. He aims for Theophilus and for all his readers to be certain that the things they have been taught are the right things. That's the introduction of the book, the very first four verses of chapter one. And all over the known world, as Luke writes, Jesus is being opposed by all the right people. By the moral people, the knowledgeable people, the people with the right connections. And all over the world, streams of, well, how would these people look to the men peering over the wall? Streams of the scum of the earth are pouring through this narrow door, this door that was too narrow for them to fit through with their pride. But people are pouring in through it. And places are being found for them next to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Moses is eating with the slave girl, and Elijah is passing the wine to a centurion who executed Jesus. Will those who are saved be few? No. They are going to flood into the kingdom. But it will not be the people who you were expecting. You will look at that great feast and you will see total reversal of expectations. Verse 30. Behold, some who are last now, who will be first. And some who are first now, who will be last. See, if you'd ask the crowd gathered around Jesus when he's speaking to make a queue with everyone in the world in it in order of how likely they were to be saved, well, then the ruler of the Pharisees from 14 verse 1, he would be at the very top of the line. And the slaves and the sinners and the Gentiles from 13 verse 29, they would have been so far back, the two would never even have met. And do you know what? They don't meet. Because one is shut out and the others are welcomed in. It just isn't the way round that anyone was expecting. I can offer us three implications just as we begin this series for this spring. First of all, do you see that I can offer you a place in Jesus' kingdom, in Jesus' great banquet, whoever you are and whatever you have done? See, the guest list, it doesn't work the way that people think it does at all. In the middle of these chapters comes a story called The Prodigal Son. And we meet two boys in that story, and one of them is certain that he deserves nothing. I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And that boy, he is welcomed home. I wonder if we think like that. Earlier this year, there was a meme circulating on social media about Kanye West. I made a decision, given the youth group are in, not to mention him, but not to explain to the rest of you who he is. for the youth group's sake. He's one of the most famous people in the world. If you don't know, go and look him up. And Kanye, he announced his conversion to Christianity. And he put out an album entitled Jesus is King. And the meme goes like this. It says, I don't know Kanye West, but if he thinks for one second that calling on the name of Jesus with a pure heart will somehow forgive a lifetime of misogyny, blasphemy, profanity, and sexual immorality, then he is absolutely right. That's the gospel, isn't it? Whoever you are, and whatever you have done, strive to enter through the narrow door. And we'll see over future weeks more about what that means, but I have sinned, I am not worthy, is a pretty good summary. If you're willing to enter like that, then Abraham and Jesus are waiting to eat with you. And this is what underpins Luke's gospel throughout the book. 3 weeks ago, we were here at a carol service, and we heard that salvation in the presence of all peoples, that's what Jesus is about. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. That's Luke 2. Or Luke 24, at the end of the book, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in Christ's name to all nations. Even Sophia, 3,500 miles away in the Gambia. Even Ella in Sydney to Australians. Anyone can believe. And you can give your gap year, give your life to that goal, that people from east, west, north and south will come, whoever they are and whatever they have done. Second implication, this is not meant to unsettle people who have responded like this and are genuinely through the door. You can see that the next three chapters are going to involve some serious heart exposure of the Pharisees. And for a while in churches, it became normal to apply the Pharisees in the Gospels as if they were there to beat up Christians. And that is to misunderstand Luke's situation. So the Pharisees, when Jesus is speaking, the Pharisees are in church alongside everybody else. But by the time Luke is writing, they are the group who killed Jesus and imprisoned and killed Christians and who hate the Christian message right across the world. They are the older brother in Jesus' story of the prodigal son. So we can expect Jesus to expose entitled establishment expectations. Of course I'm in the kingdom. Of course I am. Do you not know who I am? Expect Jesus to expose pecking orders of all kinds. We're the kind of people who Jesus would want. And to reveal hearts that think they deserve their place with Jesus. That's who this is aimed at. That's the target. But Luke's book as a whole, it is about giving assurance to Christians who trust Jesus, not about taking it away. And they are here, the Pharisees, they are here to reassure us. They didn't believe in Jesus, and people like them often haven't throughout history. People like them normally don't today. But that doesn't mean we have the wrong Jesus or the wrong message or the wrong church. The door is narrow, and many will seek to enter and not be able to, but this is the real and only way in to where Abraham feasts with Moses and with Jesus, the King of God's people. Okay, third implication, last one, something to discuss together about our outreach to other people. You'll see the word some in verse 30. And I think that word some will be quite important to some of us here. You see, I think I was the English equivalent of a New Testament Pharisee in almost every respect. Religious, pious, secure in my assumption that God owed me my place, hostile to the idea that I was an unworthy sinner. And Jesus very mercifully exposed and changed my heart. It says some, not all. will be excluded. Some who were first in the bizarre religious pecking orders that we build, some of them are brought to see their hypocrisy during their lifetimes, and they push through the narrow door, delighted and astounded, alongside all of the other sinners who don't deserve to go in. And here at St. Helens, looking out across the room, there are quite a few of us, maybe, who might match that description. From church backgrounds, whether from morally conservative Singapore or establishment setups here. And we, therefore, tend to have friends who are from those backgrounds, and we tend to hold out the message to those kinds of people. And we need to listen to Jesus when he talks about his expectations here, so that opposition and rejection and weeping come as a confirmation that Jesus knew the human heart, not as a sign that something has gone wrong. And it's a challenge, isn't it, to broaden massively who we expect to become Christians, who we think the normal Christian convert really is, and who we will invite. Will we invite from north and south and east and west? Will we invite the people at the back of the queue, not the front? Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ sent to earth at Christmas time to open a door where we did not deserve one, to give his life to allow any and all to enter his kingdom. But our Father, we also thank you for his plain speaking and ask that we would trust him, believe him, listen to him, that the door is narrow and that there is no way in for those who demand it and expect it in pride and hostility. And ask our Father that we would trust you, that we would strive to enter, and that we would hold out the gospel to all from every background. In Jesus' name, amen.